First of all, stay strong. Every day starts out as a good day. Every day is a five-star day, and it's up to you in many ways to keep it rolling that way. There's just so much to do in this field that we offer to the patients that's so unique, and restoring their health, transforming them. We really do that.
The Physical Therapy Association of Georgia had a conference. They call it Impact. And for some reason, they invited me. Beth Collier, former guest in the show, asked if I would come tell my weird roundabout story about how I actually landed in physical therapy and what I've been doing since I got here. The podcast and all. Then we brought Beth and some PT faculty on to talk about what students should do to prepare for, you know, life after being a student. Here's what it sounded like. The show is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, plus the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Hey, you want to go to the next conference but don't have the money?
Oh, yeah.
Well, PT Puncast, the APTA, and Aureus Medical Group have your back. Free entry into the conference for you and a guest. A $1,000 Visa gift card for you to use on travel, hotel, and food expenses. And we'll make you part of the podcast.
Heck yeah.
How do you win? Enter online at ptpintcast.com
or on our social media channels at ptpintcast.
It's all powered by Aureus Medical Group. Looking for a job as a physical therapist anywhere in the U.S.? Aureus has you covered. Online at aureusmedical.com and the American Physical Therapy Association at apta.org. Contest ends April 30th, 2018.
Oh my God. Thank you.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, we are live at the PTAG event conference here in Athens, Georgia. Our next guest earned her bachelor's in psych from William and Mary, a master's in PT from Duke University, and an ED in higher ed leadership from Georgia Southern University. Retired from Armstrong State just a few months ago, having served as founding faculty member of their PT program, where she held pretty much all of the positions there at one point or another. She has served the PTAG in many roles as well. She continues both part-time teaching and clinical positions. Welcome to the show, Ann Topsen. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Some pretty fired up students here at PTAG. That's got to be... That's got to be pretty. That's gonna be pretty fun since you've been in education for a long time to see the faces just keep coming on in and getting more and more excited.
Oh yeah, this is our future in front of us, and we're in the best of hands.
We're in the look at that. Yeah. She said you're in the best. She's man. So student advice. I'm sure over the years you've given some advice to students. And what are some things you like to make sure they keep their eye on the prize? Because we've got students who are dying to get out. We've got students who are just getting in the middle somewhere. Yeah. What should they focus on?
It's all been said, hasn't it? I think that we've gotten wonderful advice from the first two speakers. What can I say that you haven't heard? Well, a couple of things. First of all, stay strong. Stay strong. Every day starts out as a good day. Every day is a five-star day, and it's up to you in many ways to keep it rolling that way. There's just so much to do in this field that that we offer to the patients that's so unique, and restoring their health, transforming them. We really do that. And so every day that I go, I think, what's going to happen today? And I work primarily in a trauma center, so I really say, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
And every day when I leave, I think, oh my gosh, I've learned something today that I didn't know before. And somebody lying in a hospital bed, that makes me come back the next day. They said, thank you. I'll go 6 months on that energy alone. It's a great field.
That's awesome. You mentioned about so many different things that we can do for the patient a second ago, but in your intro, you've pretty much held all the positions at a PT school. You've worked for PTAG, you've many roles. There's so many different things where if you're doing something for a while and you maybe you get tired on it in this field, you don't have to ditch the field, you just change, you just pivot.
Yeah, I won't bore you with everything I've done, but when I graduated, they gave us the advice of spending 2 years in a general hospital and having a little bit of everything so that you got an idea of what you wanted to do. I never grew out of that. I never developed a specialty because there was always something else that was just really exciting to look at. So when you look at what I've done in clinical practice over the past 40 years, I have worked in pediatrics, geriatrics, burn care, acute care, cardiac care units. I've worked in industrial settings. I've climbed to the top of paper mills all the way to the bottom under rail cars doing job site analysis. I've worked in school systems, nursing homes. And then when I got over into academics, I was able to work in academic administration. I've been the vice president of academic affairs, been a dean. These opportunities have been amazing. I have been blessed with them. So I guess my advice to you is if you get a little stale in what you're doing, you can go somewhere else. You can do something else. And it's all amazing.
Yeah, let's hear it for that. That's awesome. We got to go back. This wasn't in your bio. Tell me about the rail and the paper mill and the worksite assessment. That's cool.
That was very cool.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, you think about the injured patients, and then you start asking the question, how'd you get hurt? And pretty soon you start working with the case managers on the vocational rehab side, with the safety managers at the institution. You say, let me come out and look at that job site, see what's going on. And then you say, you know what? We could change this work setup here and probably make things safer. And so I belong to a group called the American Society of Safety Engineers. We used to call it the Plastic Pocket Protector Brigade. Yeah. And we would get together. Beer was there as well.
Well, what a shock.
Yeah.
Themes.
Recurring themes. OSHA is not a small town in Wisconsin. But we found that we had things that we could offer. And then that translated into functional capacity assessments, job placement, and things of that nature. So you see how one thing leads into another. So if you're... There's something good about being a jack of all trades, as long as you're willing to follow that path and just see, gosh, what can I do here? And it was an incredible experience.
Yeah, I love the fact that you were going to where the patient lived or worked or did whatever they did on a regular basis to see how we can change. I'll take a moment of failure. One of my first patients that I had for a long time, he was in the Coast Guard. That's all I knew. I didn't ask anymore. Was on top of his intake form. You're in the Coast Guard, okay? And he had a neck issue, so I did all the fancy treatments I learned. I Google stuff, what I got on YouTube. Next thing you know, I'm watching cat videos. But get back to the patient, and I can't figure it out. He's been there for 2 or 3 weeks, and I can't figure out why I can't get this situation for him to feel better. And I realized, well, what do you do all day in the Coast Guard? Because I just made an assumption, right? You're in the Coast Guard. I don't know. You know, something on a ship. He's like, I'm a Coast Guard helicopter pilot. I said, oh, what does it look like most of the time? He said, well, there's a guy I dangle out of the helicopter on a rope, and I look down at him most of the time to make sure he doesn't die. And I said, well, no wonder you've got pain in your neck. But I never asked him what he did. I just said, oh, Coast Guard, I got this figured out. I'll figure. Right. I should have asked him.
Yeah.
So that's great that you were doing worksite assessments.
Yeah, if you see where these people are spending 8 to 10 hours of their day, it's amazing. And then if you make changes, it's amazing. The smallest changes that we made saved the companies lots of money, saved injuries, and we got people, we improved their lives. We transformed.
That thing you just mentioned, a lot of times we don't like to talk about, because mainly I think somebody brought it up and said it way better than me. We're an altruistic profession, but we can save someone money. This is why we are worth something and why we should be paid well for our education, is because, hey, I'm going to save you money on the back end. It's harder to do in terms of, if you spend this with me, I will prevent that down the road in the future. But you know what the cool thing is? Data is going to do that, because that's where things are going in terms of being paid for outcomes. Data is going to do that. So like the APTA, we always say, well, why are you going to be a member? It's fun to belong. They have the APTA Outcomes Registry, right? They're saying, we recognize we need to get all this data so we can prove things like, yes, spend money now, we can save you money down the road. So like that.
And honestly, over my whole career, anytime I had a question, the first place I went was APTA. What do you have? I actually did dissertation research up there, got to go up there and go through some files for what I was doing, and I was so impressed with the way everyone answered the phone. The phone rang all day long. And they always answered with the utmost patience. If they didn't have the answer, they found someone who did. APTA is an amazing resource. And with online resources now, as well as the expertise of the people, you have to stay in. They are your lifeline.
If you own a private practice, did you know you can call the APTA and ask a legal question dealing with your private practice? You don't have to necessarily hire a lawyer. The APTA has a lawyer who knows about physical therapy law, and they'll answer your question for you. If you're a member, I just like to highlight those things, because I really do think being a member of the APTA is valuable. I think we need to highlight the value, because every time you bring up something like that, people go, oh, I didn't know that. Great. Right. Let's just keep telling those stories.
Right. No, they really will. And they do it with unfailing patience and professionalism.
Love the APTA. So Jason talked about things he looks for in students, things he, you know, suggesting to do, you know, find your passion, connect it. What are some things students should avoid doing? Maybe things they definitely shouldn't do.
Be professional. When we see students who show up for their interview and they're not wearing socks.
Wait a second. Somebody showed up to an interview without wearing socks.
Thank you.
Really?
You can't make this stuff up.
Can't.
You know, it's a matter of recognizing that you demonstrate the importance of things to you and in the situation by doing things like that. How you talk to people, how you interact, how you send emails, all of these things are important. You may have the best grades in the world, and you may be super smart in the classroom, but how are you on the playground or the bus? Which translates, how are you in the clinic? Those behaviors are important, and so we look for those in students. There's a wonderful poster that's being exhibited right now by a couple of professors at Mercer. Your grades and GPA make up about 30% of your academic success. That leaves 70% that's up to you.
I like that. Socks, people. Can we get some socks?
Not even matching, just socks.
I won't say what school because I don't want to give it away. But somebody walked into their interview, their one-on-one interview, and addressed the person, the professor. Yo, John Doe, guess who's not getting in and hasn't sat down yet, right?
It matters. You know, we treat people the way we want to be treated. We're looking for how you're going to interact with patients, clients, the profession, other healthcare professionals. How you address them and how you address in an interview tells us volumes about what you're going to do in the future.
Right. They say, oh, you know, if you're on a date, make sure the other watch how the other person treats the waiter.
Yeah.
Right. So I would like to be treated with socks. So please wear. That's what I would like to bring.
There you go.
There. So you ready for three questions?
Yes.
All right. Three questions. We're here in Georgia, but Arias can get you a travel job anywhere in the U.S. Where would you go if you had 13 weeks to just go?
I'm going home to Virginia.
All right. Where in Virginia is home?
I grew up in Tidewater.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And went to school there in Williamsburg. So I'm going to go home for 13 weeks. Haven't been there in a long time. That would be fun.
We can get you there. Second question, what's something you read that really inspired you that the audience would get something out of?
I'm going to give you a quote that our church does those every day, and on Easter Sunday it was from Jeremiah, and I'll just paraphrase, which basically, I have plans for you and I won't let you fail.
Like it. Third question, who's someone we'll go out of the field too. Who's someone that the audience should know more about?
Personally, I would love to meet Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
I want to have lunch. Yeah.
What would you have? Where would you take her? You could take her to any restaurant in Georgia. What are you and Michelle Obama eating?
If she's coming to Savannah, we're going to Mrs. Wilkes.
Okay. What do we get at Mrs. Wilkes? What's the specialty?
It is family style. It's all your Southern favorites. We've got three or four meats, five or six vegetables.
Okay.
Cornbread biscuit, banana pudding. Yep. I'll invite everyone here.
Everyone's just silently salivating and nodding. Just,
Absolutely.
Yes. Whatever she just said, I'll take two to go. All right. So every episode we record is a pint. Before we're done with pints, we do shots.
This is the parting shot.
Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. The Brooks IHL hosting their third annual scholarly symposium. That's on May 19th in Jacksonville, Florida. Chad Cook is the keynote speaker. The day's filled with evidence-based scholarly activities. You do not want to miss it. Register today at brooksihl.org.
Parting shot of wisdom. What's something that we'll make the audience for the parting shot, specifically students here and listening online, what's something they should keep near and dear to their heart?
Keep your sense of humor and have fun.
Let's hear for that.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
The show is brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Arias, and I do on the show, because they've supported us from the start. But what Arias does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything. All right, you just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients where you want to do it, and get paid for it. Arias is just the person to make that happen. AURUSmedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Paid travel and housing, benefits go with it. Again, positions in all 50 states, a variety of settings. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments, even Con Ed money. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country getting paid to be a PT. AURUSmedical.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now.
All right. We're going to flip the classroom right now. So I'm going to come out to you, and you're going to be able to ask questions. Now, you can ask a question specifically for somebody on the panel, or you can ask just a general question. What's something you've always wanted to know, but were too afraid to ask? I have the microphone. They have to answer the question. So what do you got? It's always going to be the first one. Somebody's got to be the icebreaker. Uh-oh. Here we go. Christy, what do you got?
Beth, how long have you been doing this, and why do you stay?
4 years. This is the end of my fourth year. And I do it because I love it, and I love all of these people, and I want them to have a good experience.
Yeah. And same question to you about PTAG specifically. Yeah. Why have you been doing it for so long?
Beth said it. You get to know people, and it's your opportunity to catch up. And so we come back, and you will notice that it's it becomes kind of a reunion in addition to having some of the best programming you'll find.
Love it. Jason, too, what do you got? Why do you get involved in events like this? Why do you stay? Why do you keep coming back?
I think it's a good opportunity to meet new people, and I think it's a great opportunity to further your knowledge in ways that you may not normally do. And what I mean by that is I came here this morning, woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, drove here, was here by 7, had no idea what class I was going to sit in with, and picked the class, sat down, learned about pain management and how you can relate pain management and manual therapy together. Would have never signed up for that class had I not been sitting here this morning. So it just enables you to learn things outside of your box.
What do you want to know? Come on. Somebody already broke. There we go. I knew it just took one. All right, what do you got?
Hey, so for those of us that are about to enter the workforce and, you know, take our first jobs, I know not every clinic has like a formal mentorship kind of process set up. How do you recommend kind of identifying and fostering that relationship in practice?
The first thing I would say about mentorship, and this is just my personal view, is to recognize that mentorship is not a passive process. So coming into a clinic and looking for a mentorship, a lot of times it's just being aware of your surroundings and taking opportunities to watch somebody else do what they do best. So seek out who you idolize is not really the right word, but seek out who you think does a really good job and you want to be like them from a practice standpoint, and just watch them. Just watch what they do, watch how they interact, watch how they engage with their patients, and I think you'll learn a lot just from that.
Jason, the new word instead of idolize is now you fangirl. That's okay. That's the term. Who do you fangirl over? Yeah. Somebody over here, tab 1-2.
Question, as someone who's about to be a first-year clinician, what is something that you would recommend not doing your first year out of school?
Wear socks. Don't go without socks.
Don't leave home without your socks. I think don't try to pigeonhole yourself so fast. Don't feel like you have to do everything right now. I think just stay open and get used to the environment first, right? Like, just try to figure things out and don't try to be, like, amazing. Your patients may not always get better right away, and that's totally okay. You got to kind of figure it out a little bit.
Yeah. Any of you guys want to add on that, what not to do?
Don't overextend yourself with continuing education. So stick to the basics. Just what you learned in school, get really good at that. Then take it to the next level with an additional skill or talent or technique.
It feels really comforting, though, because it's like you're going back to, I'm sorry, I just made you all turn around. It feels really comforting in that, like, oh, I'll just take a class, and then I'll be able to get something out of it. It's like you learn a lot from those soft skill, those interactions with patients on a day-to-day basis, on talking to people. It doesn't necessarily, again, have to be strictly formal in a Khanna class. What do you got?
I just have a question. As I'm going through my classes, after every single class I take wound care, and I'm like, oh, wound care is awesome. take neuro. I'm like, neuro's so awesome, and ortho's so awesome. So what do I do? Like, how do I know where to apply for jobs, or how to streamline, like, what direction I'm going to go to after the next year's over?
Be like Anne and just do all of it. Now, what do? How do you find that?
I mean, that's a good question. In some ways, we don't have a generalist specialty. Now, we've got family medicine and we've got internal medicine in the medical field, but we don't have a generalist specialty. And for those of us who have a bit of a professional ADHD, the ability to change has really, you know, just like you, I've enjoyed every bit of it. And it really was, you know, somewhere around my 20th year before I said, I really like trauma care. I really like what goes into that. I really like that setting. I'm pretty good with the pathophysiology. Love blood values. Love looking at it and saying, hey, I'm going to see what this patient looks like when I walk in. So, you know, sometimes it develops slowly. Give yourself time to experience those things. If you are meant to take, and they've got a wonderful pathway professionally, and if you're meant to go that way, I would say that you know, and whenever that is, if it's at the first year or the 20th year, that's okay. There's room for you in this profession.
It's a great problem to have, I guess, right? You're in a profession where you could do so many of those things. You guys have any thoughts on that as well?
I would consider maybe a hospital setting because it's so broad. You can do so many different things. And a lot of hospitals will actually ask you to rotate quarterly. So you move to a different setting. And then maybe you'll find your niche as you move through those different aspects within the hospital-based system.
Another question.
Well, I just wanted to ask you guys if you had a pivotal moment in your careers that has led you to here or just in general. Like, has there been anything that stood out as like a very pivotal moment for you?
Since this is obviously the highlight of your career is being on my podcast, yeah, what really was the pivotal moment to get you to here?
I would say that's a tough one, but probably in 2005, so I'd been out of school for 5 years, within my PT profession, a pivotal moment was being asked to teach. So at first it was daunting to me. What do I have to offer students? What can I bring to a classroom? But that changed the way I view patient care. And it opened up a whole new avenue to me with the educational system.
I think part of it for me, I've laughed, you know, all the leadership models, and my doctorate's in ed leadership, and of all the leadership models, I think I have the Joan of Arc model.
Okay, you know, I want to hear this one, yeah.
You're called to do something, and you say, okay, there's a need, I'm going to fill it. And so, you know, maybe that's reactive leadership. It's been wonderful. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I think sometimes there are multiple pivotal moments like that.
Yeah, I think I could definitely point out a couple of big moments. I don't know that we really call them pivotal moments. But I think one for me that stands out is part of the fellowship, I actually traveled out to California to take some classes through USC. And that was a really pivotal moment for me because I got exposed to a whole new sort of line of thinking and a whole new culture of PT. And it was really great because up to then I had really just kind of stayed local in a lot of my training and working in clinics, and it was all kind of Georgia-based. So I think getting out of the comfort zone a little bit really opened my mind to some different ideas.
So I tried to quit PT school twice, and my chair said no. I was like, well, I'm quitting. You can't no to quit. But she talked me, you know, out of it twice. And in the third year at Marymount, you go on a mission trip. So we spent 2 weeks in Costa Rica working in an orphanage. My problem was I liked a lot of things. So you loved a lot of things, right? Guy just asked a question. Loved a lot of things. I liked a lot of things, and I didn't know what to do, and I kept feeling weird. I just started the podcast at this time, so I had no idea what I was really doing. I'm like, I don't fit. I'm going to get out. I'm going to go find something else. So I go on this trip to Costa Rica, work in an orphanage, and most of the kids we worked with had cognitive issues, a lot of CP in the orphanage. And, you know, it was a rewarding experience, but there was one kid, right? It's always about a human interaction. That's that pivotal moment for me. One kid who was cognitively intact. He had muscular dystrophy. Right? So he had a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, and that's it. And he sat in a Tilton Space wheelchair by himself all day, except happiest kid you'd ever met in your entire life. All he did was smile and mess with me in Spanish because I spoke no Spanish. So he just jacked with me all day, right? So I hang out with this kid for 2 weeks, and then I go to leave because now it's time to go home. And I left him laying there, right? Because we can't really do much, can't fix muscular dystrophy as a physical therapist. And spring break was right after that. So we had rented this sick house off of Airbnb in Costa Rica with like a pool in the living room and blah, blah, blah. So of course, everybody there is like jumping in the pool, had a couple, maybe there was a couple of drinks there as well. And there I am first night, bleary-eyed drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I know how I'm gonna help this kid. I started a GoFundMe page 66 days before graduation, and we raised $19,000 to buy him a power wheelchair. And then I brought it to Costa Rica, right? Because I had to show him how to use it. So we delivered it to Costa Rica, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I can touch someone without ever actually touching someone. Again, all I did was connect two dots. I found two things I was good at. So I used the podcast to get people to donate $1, $5, $10. I sold t-shirts. I did anything. I went all over the place. So that was my pivotal moment because it helped me figure out that, yeah, doing this weird thing that I do actually does help me and helps people and helps the profession. We got time for one more. What do we got?
Can we hear some stories, preferably funny ones, but if they're not, that's okay, of mistakes that you might have made early in your career that served as a learning experience?
Uh-oh. Right now they're scanning through them and like what is this, an R rating? Is this PG-13? I can do this one.
Oh, mistakes. Well, I would go back to undergraduate college, and I was following in my father's footsteps, and most of the people in my family that went to college before me were all mathematically minded, and they all were engineers or builders or an architect or something of that nature. So I figured, what the hell? I guess I'm going to be an engineer. So I went to engineering school for 2.5 years. And then I took a bio class, and I said, man, this is so much more interesting than math. And that changed it. So from that moment on, I knew that I wanted to go into medicine in some sense of it, and whittled it down to physical therapy over the next year, and then had my path forward from there. So not really a mistake, I guess, but it slowed me down quite a bit.
It's funny how those mistakes wind up being like things to put you on a path. You know, like in the moment, it probably felt like, oh no, I just wasted time. But really, you're like, that got me to here. So that's, you know, it's a mistake, but mistakes kind of define us eventually. What do you got? Funny? Doesn't, you know, what's your mistake?
I think my mistake was practicing palpation on my dog as a PT student. That's what I would say. You said funny, right? I mean, I think that's kind of funny. So
what?
Yeah.
What were you looking for?
I was just trying to feel stuff.
Okay.
Right? So, like, we were palpating trigger points, and I have, like, a little Yorkie. She's about 8 pounds, and I was just kind of poking, trying to feel muscles and where they were, and I found some stuff, and she didn't like it. It hurt, I think. And so she kept, well, now she won't come sit in my lap. I can't pet her. That's probably not the best idea.
Don't do that. All right, what do you got?
I don't know how well this is going to translate, but it's one of the things to let you know that you can make stupid mistakes as a student, and as long as you've got an understanding CI with a sense of humor, you'll be fine. Obviously, most of what I've done has not been in the neurological realm, even though I thought that's what I wanted to do most. But learning to communicate with patients who have had some kind of traumatic brain injury and no impulse control and things of that nature, and a crowded gym, you've got multiple patients in there. I was trying to go between two patients, and this one patient, a young male student who was telling me in very coarse language that he had to use the bathroom, he had to urinate, and I said, oh, just hold it, and he did, and my CI goes running across the room with a towel because there was this arc of water that was streaming across the mat, and I thought, I'm going to flunk. So I guess it was a lesson in communication, but, you know, as long as you clean it up, they'll laugh about it later.
All right, let's hear it for our three guests. Here for Ann, Jason, Beth. I seriously want you to put your hands together for yourselves. Being students and being forward-thinking, coming to something like this is a big deal. And thank you guys for having me in the state of Georgia. It's been my pleasure. My name is Jimmy McKay. I told you what I was going to tell you, right? And then I told you, and now I'm going to tell you again. There's two things, PT and another thing, connect those dots. All right, guys? Thanks very much for having me here in the state of Georgia. It's my pleasure.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs. From website development and hosting, providing content marketing solutions for PT clinics across the country. See what Build PT can do for you today at buildpt.com.